Shall we pray? In your glorious name, loving Father, our precious Lord, our Savior, the Lord Jesus, thank you again for this opportunity that we can come together to worship your divine and worship your wonderful name. And we pray that as we await upon the Holy Spirit to deal and work with us, that, Lord, you will prepare our hearts to be responsive to the truth, to your word. And, Father, hide everyone behind the cross of our Lord Jesus, that as we step out of this place, we could truly say, the Lord has been worshipped, the Lord is gracious. We pray that you'll be with us now as we look into your word. And we pray not only for those that are here, but even for loved ones that we know that are away from us and could have been here. Especially we pray for Pastor and Mrs. Yields, that they would, oh Lord, be with them as they come to almost the end of their trip to England, that they will be able to join with us in your own time. In his precious name, our Savior, our precious Lord, we ask all these things. Amen. Amen. Well, this morning, the old man has been given an opportunity to look into his word and share with us what God would like us to look into. As you have seen, the text that we have for today is one that is a long one. There are 40 verses that are in this passage. And I'll try to share with you what has the Lord has impressed in my heart, why I have been led to choose this verse or this book in the book of Psalms. These Psalms contrast the destiny of the wicked with the future of those that are righteous. The wicked, though he prospers today, will be cut off in the days of the Lord. The righteous will inherit the earth and will be vindicated by the Lord. In this Psalms, as considered by many as written by King David, who contrasts the conduct of the wicked with the righteous. The wicked oppress the poor, the wicked borrow and do not repay, and the wicked plots against the just. On the right hand, or on the other hand, rather, the righteous shows mercy and gives. His mouth speaks wisdom, and his tongue talks of justice. The message in this particular psalm is telling us to wait patiently in faith in the Lord, because the Lord is faithful. Listen to some of the highlights of what the scripture says in chapter of Psalms 37. First, in verse 3, it says, feed on his faithfulness. Trust in the Lord and do good. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your ways to the Lord. Trust also in him. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Wait on the Lord and keep his ways, and he shall exalt you to inherit the land. But the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength. In times of trouble, the Lord shall help them and deliver them from the wicked and save them, because they trust in him. That is in verse 39 and 40. In my heart, the most striking and probably the most familiar part of this text is found in verse 25. I have been young, and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor the descendants begging bread. The promise of this passage has a resounding similarity to what the book of Hebrews says in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's what the book of Hebrews says. I will never leave you nor forsake you. This verse is so special for me today, because I struggled when I tried to prepare myself for this moment that I would share the word of what text I will have to use. And in the scriptures, in the old times that I have been in the ministry for in this church, I have so many topics, texts, and all these different scriptures that I could have easily to go back and say, to try to say that again, because after all, it's been there for the last 15 years. You can say that and nobody will know. But somehow, God impressed on me night and day, day and night, that this verse is what He wants me to share. I have been young, but now I'm old, and I'm talking to myself. I've been young, and now I'm old, and yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken. And in my heart, it's not in my script, in my heart, that is a message that He wants me to share to myself, to each one of us, that the Lord has never forsaken. If we are truly a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, He will come to that point where, whether you're young or whether you're old, you will remain and be able to proclaim. Thank you. Proclaim that the Lord is faithful. The Lord is going to be with you as you go through this life. And that is exactly what David has to go through. He has experienced in his heart. He has experienced the joy of what it is to lean upon Him and to trust in the faithfulness and His sovereign grace of God to sustain us in times of our trouble. For us today, this is comforting, because through every trials, struggle, battle, and problem, the righteous have the promise of God being with us. God never forsakes His people. God never leaves us before alone, and He has never abandoned us. Whenever we are dealing with any harshness or adversity, we should remember God is with us. If God is with us, we can make it. As Paul said, if God be with us, who can be against us? The answer is, no one can defeat us, and no enemy formed against us shall prevail. In our text, here we have King David sharing with us the faithfulness of God, the faithfulness of God to all those that are righteous. He said, I have been. That's the past, and that was something that has taken place in the past in his life, that I have been. Oh, I have been young. These are not the words of a novice or a person that has no experience. David is a seasoned and experienced man. He understood the glory of a young man is their strength, but the beauty of the old man is the gray head. Psalms 20, verse 29. David has seen the fullness of life. He has seen what it is to be in good or in a bad situation, in bitter or sweet. He has tasted the bitter and the sweet things of life. He has experienced both the pleasures and the pain. David can provide expert testimonies concerning the faithfulness of God. Forsaken, the Hebrew word, exans, means to abandon, to live in the blur, to leave someone who is depending on you, and to leave someone alone with a problem. David experienced many hardships in many different ways. He experienced cruelty from his own family, which serves to teach him about God's faithfulness. Even his own family, his father, if you can remember, forgot about him or overlooked him when the Lord asked Samuel to look for the one who will be the king of Israel. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, if you have your Bibles with you, chapter 16, verse 10 to 12, we read the testimony in here. Thus, Jesse made 7 of his sons pass before Samuel, and Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen these." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Are all of the young men here?" Then he said, "There remains yet the youngest, and there he is, keeping the sheep." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Send and bring him in, for we will not sit down till he comes here." So he sent and brought him in. Now he was not ruddy and bright-eyed and good-looking. And the Lord said, "Arise, anoint him, for this is the one." That's one of the first issues where we consider there is the bitterness. But God is faithful in spite of the fact that his family did ignore him in that particular time. And then we find in Samuel chapter 17, 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 28 and 29. There we find a brother despised him. We find in the scripture it says, "Now Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the man." That was when they were engaged in a battle. And Eliab's anger was aroused against David, and he said, "Why did you come down here? I know your pride and the insolence of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle." And David said, "What have I done now? Is there no cause?" His brother despised him, did not consider that the integrity of this young man. Even his wife, in Samuel, 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 16 to 20 to 21, we find that his wife even despised him. Let's look into Samuel chapter 6, 2 Samuel chapter 6, 16, 20 to 21. "Now as the ark of the Lord came into the city of Abed-Meshech, Saul David looked through a window and saw King David lifting and whirling before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. Then David returned to bless his household, and Michal and the daughter of Saul came out to meet David and said, 'How glorious was the king of Israel today, uncovering himself today in the eyes of the maids of his servants, as of the base fellows, shamelessly uncovered himself.' So David said to Michal, 'See, his servants, it was before the Lord who chose me instead of your father and all his household to anoint me ruler over the people of the Lord of Israel. Therefore, I will play before the Lord.'" These are just a few of some of the instances where he has experienced the bitterness of his relatives, his own family. But God, through all of these things, if you will actually have more time to read it, you'll find that God remains faithful, true and faithful to him. His son, do you know the son who attempted to take the kingship from him, to be the ruler, to be the king. Do you know the name of his son? I thought somebody would say, yes, I know. In the Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 3 to 6, we know that I will not read that anymore, but I would like just to say Absalom is the person that actually attempted to take the kingship away from him. And we read also here in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 37. It refers again to the situation when David experienced again the faithfulness of God. Here we find, moreover, David said to the Lord, who delivered me from the paws of the lion and the paws of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with you. The Lord gave him victory over Goliath with one smooth stone. So here we find experiences, so many experiences of King David, wherein he could declare, not only declare, but actually experience and share with us God's faithfulness to him in times of struggle, in times of battle, in times of loneliness and segregation from people that he loved. Saul tried to kill David, but the Lord gave him also a wonderful friend by the name of what? Jonathan, his friend. And so there are many other circumstances where King David has tasted the bitter and the sweet experiences of life. But now he is old. And yet as he looks forward to the twilight moment of life, he continues to proclaim his unwavering trust in the faithfulness of God. Turn to 2 Kings, or rather 1 Kings. Turn to 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 1 to 3. Kings, and whoever finds it can read it for me, please, so you can participate in this study. 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 1 to 3. Anyone who read it? Yes. Can you, Derek, can you read it? Read it loud so the rest can hear. That's his admonition to his son who's going to take over his leadership. Yet as he looked forward to the twilight moment of his life, he continues to proclaim his unwavering trust in the faithfulness of God. Let's consider some of these things as we look later on with some of the psalms that he wrote concerning his confidence and trust in the Lord. However, if you read and study the life of King David, the scripture tells us it is not David's conduct nor his behavior that makes him righteous. Let us remember a few things more about this great man that God has used in the past. There are some things that it is not very beautiful picture to describe, but we see in the Word of God that the Scripture speaks of him as a person who had committed adultery with Bathsheba. He murdered her husband. He did nothing when his daughter Tamar was mistreated by her brother Ammon. David realized his sin and imperfection. He does not claim that he is pure and righteous. He recognized the fact that he was sinful. In Psalms 51, verse 3, we find, "For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is always before me." He knows that in the midst of many wonderful things that God has done and has given him, he has failed him. He has also sinned against the Lord. I say this not to detract us from David, nor to make light of sin, but rather to demonstrate that the best of us have sinned and what God ultimately is concerned is not so much of the outward. God says when David was made perfect because of his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, because of his faith and trust in God. What made David righteous was the condition of his heart and his faith in him. David was a man after God's own heart. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7 says, "But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at the outward appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looked at the heart." David was righteous because of his faith, and that is imperative, that's important, because of his faith and trust and confidence in God. He has been considered righteous. And so are each one of us. If we are here today and we claim that we have put our confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ, we should also have a clear and true experience of knowing and believing Christ as your personal Savior. Let us look at what the Scripture says in Psalms 37, 5 and 6. It says, "Commit your ways to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday." And then Psalms 37, 39, and 40, the last two verses of this, the text that we have, "But the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. But the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength in times of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them, because they trust in him." That's what the Scripture tells us clearly, that David became wonderful and he has become a child of God, not because of his many wonderful activities and achievement, but rather his simple, pure faith and confidence in the finished work of God for his salvation. Because it is because that we trust in him that we have become saved. Listen to what the book of Romans chapter 4, verse 3 says. We read, "For what does the Scripture says? Abraham believed in God, and it was accounted to him as righteousness." And then also look at the book of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says, "For without faith it is what? Impossible to believe, to please God. For he that cometh to him, or for him that cometh to God, must believe that he is, and he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him." That's the wonderful confidence that we should have, that if we truly believe that God is real and he died for us on that cross and he gave his life, then we should have that faith in what he has done for us, the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross for us. In all of history, of Israel's history, God never left them. Today, we can too count on the faithfulness of God, because he never lets his people down. He is faithful even when we are not faithful. God is faithful to His word. That's what the scripture says, that God can be trusted all the time. I'd like to share the only time in the scripture when a righteous person was forsaken comes from the mouth of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. The only time in the entire scripture that we have that when a righteous person was forsaken comes from the very mouth of our Lord Jesus Christ, because He was on the cross. Matthew 27:46, we read, "And in about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Jesus made this statement because for the first time, first in eternity, God the Son was separated from the Father. The nature of penalty that Jesus suffered necessitated that the Father leave Him for that time. Because of our sin, our Lord Jesus became sin. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 21 it says, "For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him." He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God to Him. I thought we could hear some amen for that. That's it. On the cross, the Lord Jesus was treated as the worst and sinner that ever lived. He was treated as the worst murderer. He was treated as the worst thief. He was treated as the worst idolater. He was treated as the worst liar. He was treated as the worst embezzler. He is treated sin. In Christ, the sinless became the sinful in order that we might become righteous before God in Him. Apart from Him, we have no righteousness. Romans 3:10 says, "There is none righteous, none, not one." And the Word of God calls us to accept His gift of righteousness through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's wonderful that David has in his great writings in the Bible. There's one psalm that is so familiar for so many of us, so many of us that have been exposed and have been close to the Bible. The book of Psalms 23 is one of the psalms that I usually will be asked to read during the funeral of someone who passed away. And this is still common today that we use this. But David used this as a clear testimony of his confidence in the reality of God's grace in giving him this eternal hope of life that we can have in Christ Jesus. For he said, "The Lord is my shepherd." Is He your shepherd? "I shall not want. He leaded me in the path of righteousness." I'm missing it. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lay down in green pasture. He leaded me in the path of righteousness. He restored my soul. He leaded me in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. Though do I walk," this is what I love, "though if I walk to the very shadows of death, I will fear no evil." That's when he was dying and was about ready to die. "I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." There's something strange about it. "I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they come. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil.
My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me in all the way of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What a wonderful, wonderful testimony of a man who from the beginning all the way to the end, to the bitterness of life, to the sweetness of the things that God has given him, would conclude and close his book of life, close the book of his life, and say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Even if I walk through the valley of the shadows of death, I'm not going to be afraid, because you. We can forget all the different things about the scripture that you have memorized and remember and recited so many times. But please do not forget what David said. Though I walk through the valley of the shadows of death, I will fear no evil, for you. Is he with you? Because you know that he is your Savior, that he died on that cross because of Ernie Cruz, or whatever his wonderful name is. He said, I died. I gave my life for you. He who knew no sin became sin for us in order for us to be able to know what it is to have the joy of knowing Christ and being with him throughout eternity. Let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I should have told you. But I go and prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you will be also. What a joy, what a pleasure, what a comfort it is for a young man as well as old. Whether young or old, we don't know what tomorrow will bring. But the joy of knowing every morning as you wake up in the morning, as he wakes you up in the morning, you can say, the Lord is my shepherd. No matter what will happen, no matter what will I be exposed to throughout the day, I will not be afraid, because you, Christ, God is with you. That's why somebody have said, if you know the Lord, if you know everything, but if you don't know the Lord, your life is an endless, it's a hopeless end. But if you know the Lord and trust in him and put your faith in him, your life, no matter how long you have in this earth, you might have, nowadays everybody's talking about longevity, and they surely would like to live longer. People might live 110, 115, 200 years. I don't know. But no matter how long or how short it is a wonderful and joyous confidence of anyone who had put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ to know that he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. If you believe in me as a righteous person, I will never forsake you. You will never be forsaken of him who claims to be he that have known, he that knows God and knows must know me. For no one can come to the Father but by him. Is that your confidence? Is that your faith? Is that your trust? As you step out of this door today, it's not our church. It's not the building. It's not so much of what we have in the Word that we know. It is so much of what is in the heart. David is called the man of God because of his faith, his trust in him. Is that what you have? Just go out from this place. And they sang the song that I loved so much. That's the only one that I always remember and I've not forgotten. As I grow older, I'm now 88, will be 81 pretty soon. And I remember with all these different songs that we used to sing together, whether we're standing or sitting down, I remember this song. And I like to sing it again if we can, because when you sung it already, you played your violin with it. Faith, let's sing 43. And let's sing it as a closing song today. Page number 42 in your hymn book. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Amen? Let's stand and sing that song together. I'm glad that I have a grandson that I could thank. Thank God that he's playing the piano for us today. That's part of God's grace and faithfulness. For all these 40 years that we have been together here, we could rejoice together and sing that the reality of what we're going to sing had been experienced by so many who have been a part of this body. Great is his faithfulness. Amen? Let's rejoice together as you pray for us. Somebody can lend me one hymn book, I'll be glad. Thank you. Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow standing with thee. Thou changest not, the compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, I had provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, I had provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. The third, pardon for me, and the peace that endureth, thine own dear presence to fear and to guard, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, I have provided. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, Lord unto me. Is that not sweet? Is that not sweet? His faithfulness. Great is his faithfulness. Shall we pray? Most precious, wonderful, gracious Savior, thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your forgiveness. Great is your faithfulness. For without you, dear Lord, truly life could be a bundle, nothing but a bundle of misery and hopelessness.
but in Christ Jesus, through the saving grace of our Savior, who died on the cross. He who knew no sin became sin for us, in order for us to be able to rejoice together, cry together, embrace together, love each other, because of your faithfulness. And we pray that, Lord, as we go home today and be back tonight, that you will, Lord, allow us to continue to rejoice and be able to have the joy from the depths of our hearts, for because of your faithfulness, because of your presence, because of the Holy Spirit in us and in you, we become holy and acceptable in your sight. We pray that as we raise our hand, as we close our prayer, our worship this morning, that may the very grace of our wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus, and the love of the Heavenly Father, and the fellowship and presence and communion of the Holy Spirit be in each one of us today and forevermore. And the people of God said, Amen. We are dismissed. Turn around and give your love to each other.